Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Small Town Roofer podcast. I'm Scott Tebay, and today we have Chris DeRoll on our podcast. Chris, how are you today?
What's happening, Scott? I'm doing well. It's nice, warm day out. Finally, it feels like summertime.
I hear you. Well, that's great. Maybe our season's going to finally kick off. It feels like we've been kind of stuck in the mud this spring a little bit where I'm at. So hopefully that's a sign of the start of the season.
Yeah, it's like the rain. We're in Detroit. And so it's like the rainy season. It's that double-edged sword because you're like, yes. And then it continues and you're like, crap, I'm getting a little too many calls. Like, we need to get some sunny days to get some work done.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the money train rolling. So, Chris, you know, one, the name that you have is freaking awesome. Ready to Roll. I love it. Like, I saw your email handle. I'm like, that is so clever. I love that. But anyway, can you tell us a little bit about your background in the industry, kind of how you got in, and then, you know, what Ready to Roll has kind of become today?
Yeah, for sure. So I have been in the roofing industry for a little over 8 years now. And then prior to that, I was actually in corporate America, but I was moved through some different activities there, some different jobs. And one of them was doing sales and marketing for electrical contractors. And then I ended up getting into a position where then I was living in Cleveland and I was selling equipment through distribution, but also working directly with electrical contractors. But part of my service group was residential electricians. And so, like, we were doing some stuff where anybody that was like a certified partner that was buying their gear, they would do some trainings with them and, you know, things that people kind of in the roofing industry are doing to try and elevate, you know, how do we set ourselves apart from competition? And so it was something like that was an idea I'd seen 10 years ago where it's like they're coaching guys on how to switch away from flat rate pricing and go into like, just here's the price, how to make people feel comfortable about a bigger number, but they know what it is going into it type of stuff. And so I got, like most people, sick of working at corporate America. And it's the typical like, hey, we got to make sure the stock price is going up. And, you know, the big guys with all the stock, we got to make sure they get paid. We're going to change the commissions a little bit. And it was something where I was like, I asked in a meeting one day, I was like, so if I just hit my goal, I can basically just kind of like be on cruise control. And he's like, well, the district manager's like, is that the right attitude to have? And I said, well, I don't know, but it's the one that you're paying me for. And I was like, it was one of those things where I'm like, a guy in my office, he goes, you're the emperor has no clothes, kid. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're the one just like calling the stuff out. And I'm like, this isn't going to be what I want to be doing forever to be happy. And so my father-in-law had a roofing business in Detroit. He'd been doing it by himself for 30 years, doing, I don't know, just about $1 million, just hit that. And he's like getting to the point needing some more help. He needs another person. So I'm like, all right, let's get the hell out of corporate America, come and work with you, learn the business, start selling for you. And I was like, yeah, if I can sell this stuff, I can sell roofs too. And dealing with homeowners is, it's cool. So 8 years later, you know, it went from, hey, join me. My daughters want nothing to do with this. And I was dating his oldest daughter at the time for, I don't know, probably 6-7 years at this point. And so it was like, I'm joining him. They got nothing they want to do with it. I got to make enough money to retire and then I'll be done with all this shit. That's what he told me. And so I was like, that's cool, man. We'll figure it out. And so eventually it's like we grew it. And so a little under 100 roofs a year. It's like now I left. They did a little bit over $4 million. We had one outside salesperson. And then we are basically no ad spend. It's all kind of like referral business based. But it's stuff that we built a lot of systems just along that journey where it was like, let's do little things here and there because we're not spending a bunch of money. I'm not trying to compete with these guys and getting these big Google ad budget wars. And so what we ended up doing is like, bringing my wife, her two sisters, and then I got out of the business because now they've got the business. They're running it together. And now what I'm doing is focused on helping other contractors, what we did kind of in-house to scale our business, but do it in a way that works for us. Because like, I think there's too many people in our industry that are really, really big on you got to grow, you got to hit these big numbers and stuff. And like, I'm somebody that's like, we built a lifestyle business for ourselves. Works for us, works for our family. Somebody told me, they're like, you know, there's no way that, you know, your wife and her two sisters are all sitting in the right seat or they're the right person for that job. And I'm like, you're probably right. But like the reality of our life is this is our family business. And so it's like right, wrong, or otherwise, like this is what we're dealing with. And so It's something that like, I know there's lots of other guys, women, men, families just like us that are like, we're all in it together to some degree. So like I feel for that.
Well, there's definitely something to be said too about a lifestyle business. And I've transitioned a lot of my thinking, at least temporarily, So last year and a half or so, we've been doing a lot of traveling. And so we've taken our foot kind of off the gas. Organically, our business has still grown just because we have good people in the business still, good sales reps and good administrative help and things like that. So organically, it's still grown. You know, we haven't had the push on, but still making really good money, enjoying life, not overwhelmed with the day-to-day grind. You know, for me, I'm sure there's a real possibility that I'll get back to that grind at some point. My boys are getting ready to start school. My oldest one's about to start school. That's going to kind of put a hindrance on your flexibility. So, you know, I'll probably fire things back up. I'm a big advocate for wrestling, so I'll probably do some coaching in the winter or something. But during the good months, you know, I'll probably go back to hustling again. But so with are you still running that roofing business?
I am completely out of it, basically. So it's like I am out of that, and my wife is basically running it with Elizabeth, her sister, and then their younger sister, Becca. So it was something my father-in-law, their dad, Tom, is still kind of involved too, but it's something where it's like he's 60, 62 this year. It's like he's like, dude, I'm sick of doing most of this stuff. And so it's kind of like he's picking and choosing the stuff he wants to do and or can do from home. So he's like, I don't even have to go out on the road. I can just get my stuff done that I like. Entering orders or what it could be. And he does that. So yeah, it's the three ladies roofing business now. It's pretty good brand for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's all kinds of opportunities. Female owned businesses have a lot of opportunity in this world. So that's a great avenue to go. So you did that. You helped kind of develop this roofing business, this really family surrounded roofing business. And then you've kind of transitioned into more of a consulting type, mentoring type position from what I've gathered.
Yeah. So basically what I do now, it's like everybody's situation is always a little different. And so there's not really a one size fits all to these types of approaches. And like people are like, well, are you a coach? Are you a consultant? Like the word I kind of been using now is I'm an implementer. That's the better way to think of it. Like maybe I'm not the one that's going to implement like a CRM changeout, but what I'm going to help you implement are these things of like, how do we look at what you're doing? Take kind of that 10,000 foot view, take a step back, think about what you're doing, what you're trying to do, where you want to go, and then really help you build that plan of like actionable in like sites. How are we going to go each of these steps of the way to get to where I need to give me what I'm looking for in my business? And so like some of these bigger roofers, it's something where it's like, hey, these are bigger ticket packages where there's going to be coaching. We're going to redesign literature, like sell sheets if you're using Sumos or Proline or whatever it is that has the ability to put a custom quote into it. Like I'll redesign those for them. Make sure that your literature speaks to the customers you're really trying to target. Because like if you're bidding retail shingles or you're bidding insurance, like it's going to be a different approach. You're going to speak differently. You're going to put the stuff in your literature and then build literature that you can use throughout your process, whether it's a lead magnet, whether it's your sales sheet, it's all the same stuff that we can repurpose and figure out ways to get more people to call you back and then buy from you. And so it's like some of these smaller guys, they'll call me. I'm like, dude, let's just jump on some strategy calls a couple times a month. And like, that's all we need to just talk through some things that you're struggling with. Here's what the problem you tell me it is. Here's what really the problem is, and how do we fix that so that this stops this fire from always popping up for you? And for a lot of guys, it's like, dude, that's all I needed. So,
and that's a huge help. That was what I had early on. I had hired a fella, Tom Pearson, and you know, our biggest trouble was knowing our numbers. I do not come from a background of high education, and understanding the math that goes into running a business was a real struggle for me. And you know, Tom was a great business coach, and I recommend him to anybody having that issue. But you know, he was able to just, you know, a couple calls a month, glance at some numbers, do some job costing. Well, the reason you lost here is because you gave him this freebie. Well, that freebie comes at a 0% margin. Well, that 0% margin took you from 30% gross to 18% gross.
Yep.
You know, and just really working out some of that stuff. Just, and he only had to show me these things once or twice. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That makes sense, you know, and that's a huge help to guys.
Yeah, I tell a lot of people, I'm like, we can like jump on a discovery call. It's like, let's talk for 30 minutes. And it's like, do you have a company cam checklist set up yet? It's like, no. It's like, okay, great. Start there, because I bet 15 of your problems that are occurring are because you're not documenting some notes about what's happening at this job. It's like, dude, I'll send you what we built for our business. I'll show you where the links for all those other free ones that other businesses have already built in company cam. Like, start using that tomorrow and see what we can do. Because it's like, there's probably some really, really low hanging fruit in just like, I need a one little process tweak that's going to then, you know, really stop problems from showing up later.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot of guys doing what you're doing, right? There's a lot of consulting, coaching type positions. Yep. I'm not taking away from what you're doing. I think we need it. We roofers out of all trades, roofers might need it worse than anybody. I know I do. So when I say that though, everybody's good. Like, you're probably good at a lot of things, but there's something that you're really good at. If you're going to have, like, what's your key client? Like, we got 100 listeners and they all have, you know, different problems. Which one can come to you and you know for sure, I got this guy. I'm going to have him fixed up.
I mean, it's something where I would say, like, I have encountered the same problems that you have encountered along that journey. If you're doing 200 to 300 roofs a year down to, I'm doing 30 roofs a year, 10 roofs a year. Like, I've encountered all those problems. And so it's really one where it's like the people that my best fit for people that I work with are people that are typically, I'm making enough money, but it's like, I want that work-life balance a little bit better. That's what I'm going for. Or the guy that's like, dude, I'm doing well, but I don't really have any other people. It's kind of just me. And it's like, I'm getting overwhelmed. There's things that we can do for guys like that. Cause like anybody that's going to consider themselves a small town roofer, it's like part of that small town thing, your ability to get people, like how you're going to run a business, you can probably be more efficient with what you're doing. Maybe it's just changing your process, changing some software tweaks that you're already using the software, using it differently, getting more of your time back for yourself. And so like some of this stuff, it could just be like, hey, just run through, tell me your process, go through this stuff. And then sometimes it's a little more in depth too. It just depends.
So, and I don't want to speak for you, but what I hear is guys that are really wanting to kind of take their business, kind of pull themselves back out of it a little bit, create a little better lifestyle for themselves. If that's kind of your focus, that's a really good customer to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, that's why I ask, is because everybody's got their niche in the consulting business. And I want guys that are listening to come to you. So if that's what your target audience is, that's what we want to send that way and get them the help that they need to achieve those goals.
Yeah. And it's something where like I work with different businesses too, that aren't just roofers locally. So it's like, I have somebody that does blind insulation, organization, like some different businesses where it's like, if you're providing a service to a homeowner, there's something I can probably help you with your process. And so it's like the tree trimming guy that shows up to my house and he's like, giving me a quote. And I'm like, can I tell you how you could sell me some more of this stuff if you just left this behind with me and told me like, here's what this stuff means. I'm like, oh, I'd buy that and that and that. And he's like, dude, we got to start working together. I'm like, I know. So like, those are the things, like thinking about your process, like, okay, tell me about like, it's like how many of your leads come in and they don't get picked up by somebody. It's like, it goes to a voicemail. It's like, hey, we can solve a lot of problems by making sure you have somebody that picks up the phone for you. And like, there's ways to accomplish that. That could be answering service all the way up to local hire. Like it, and there are things in between too. So it's a process thing. That's what I'm good at, is looking at somebody's process, taking it apart, and then saying, hey, let's show it up on the drawing board of how we could put this back together to output that same amount with less, you know, input.
Sure. So you touched on something we kind of spoke of just briefly before we got on, and that's, you know, kind of bringing in some support, you know, on the administrative type side of things, receptionist / admin. And you and I both use a similar service, SMA services, you know, for some of that work. Tell me your experience with that, and then I'll give you kind of my history with it too.
Yeah. So it was something that like we were trying to get my sister-in-law, who was in the seat of inside sales at that point, who is supporting me, into an outside sales position. And I found out about SMA support through, like most people, like everything, John Delorier. And it's like, oh, listening to John. And I'm like, I just reached out to him. I'm like, yo, what is like, what's this? And they kind of showed me what they could do. And it's like literally anything from that initial inbound call through that end process. There's so much we can take off of the plate of it that just needs to be moving. And so Elizabeth was doing appointment setting, customer, like scheduling, estimate preps, all that. So now the process got set up where we have our, you know, global team member sitting in Manila that he jumps in and handles everything until we show up for the site visit to be ready to present. So, but in our market in Detroit, like we have a lot more customers. It's a little bit different area. And so it's something where it's like speed for us is huge. It's the biggest thing, like being really, really fast, because there's 2 million houses within an hour drive for us to go after. Wow. In Detroit. Like it's just, people are like, oh, Detroit. And I'm like, please don't come here because there is so much work. Like it's all over the place. And so we put them in our business because for the cost of an inside seat, it's like, hey, if I go out and hire a new inside person, now I can get two team members for the same or less than that price of an inside seat. And to be honest, like most of the people you're going to go look at recruiting, it's like if they work from home, it's like, dude, they're going to be sitting on Netflix while they're kind of working and like they're not as productive. So it just really helped us. We started with one, then we added another one. And now we have one where it's like sales and marketing up to signed contract and then production stuff from signed contract onwards. They handle a lot of that stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah. And speed is the key. We literally, you know, SMA gives us a report every week. Actually, I get a few different reports from our admin. I don't know what else to call him because he does everything. So
yeah,
he does a few different reports for us. But one of them is how quick they are to get to it, to respond to a lead, whether it's a web form, an instant quote, Thumbtack lead, yep, you know, everything.
The lead aggregator stuff like Thumbtack, any of those, if you're paying for that stuff, like you have to be on it. Otherwise, you just wasted money.
I think that they're at like 6 seconds average across the board. It's insane. Like he's so fast. And they just are so thorough. Like the note taking that we get. So when it was the same structure for us. Ruben would answer that phone call and he'd take it, you know, until a salesman showed up at the door, right? But the note taking that they would keep inside of ProLine, inside of that customer form, I mean, you didn't need to go listen to the phone call because he literally would just put the notes in so well that it was so clear what that customer was wanting. You didn't have to ask questions. You know, you could show up well educated in what that customer's wanting. I mean, he even put down the drive time to get to the job site, you know, to get to the home from the office, like all of these things. So, yeah, I mean, they're just fantastic. They're super well-trained. They do ongoing training and different things. It's a well-oiled machine. And for the price, like you nailed it. I mean, you can have two of them for the price of one in-house office staff. And one of them is probably twice as productive as one in-house office staff. So basically it's like 4-to-1, you know, and it's just a no-brainer
for a lot of people too. It's like, if you've got a plan where you're like, I'm going to get an inside sales guy and then we're going to like grow a team. If that inside person's good, they're moving out to an outside seat in a couple of years. And then you're back in that same spot again. And it's like, damn it. I hate hiring and dealing with all this crap. And it's like, we all suck at hiring, onboarding, training. It's like, dude, I'd rather be out selling roofs or doing what like, I feel like most owners, they're either the sales owner or they're the like ops owner. And they're like, that's what I want to focus on. I want to be out at the job sites. I want to be out selling. I don't want to be training, but some are good, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we've had such great experience with it. We're looking at some other options too, but it's been a great experience for us.
With this, like for a lot of people, there's probably people that's like, I'm in a small town. This is somebody that's like, hey, they might have a little bit of an accent. And it's like, if you could say activities that we're having a virtual assistant do, it doesn't matter who's doing these. Like somebody could be in your business. If you're the guy selling behind the scenes, moving those things for you, like that's, if you can get that local person who can answer a phone, prep estimates, schedule customers, like get those tasks off of your plate and give them to somebody else. And like for some of these markets, especially if it's a smaller market, it's like, dude, if you call them back the same day, that's plenty because most of the other guys are a couple days later, if at all. And so it's like, it's, you're not outrunning. Like, I think there's a lot of people in the industry that will look at like what these biggest guys are doing or who's making the most noise about something. Like, shoot, I got to be doing that. And it's like, you don't, it's not your market and you don't need all of that stuff. It's not.
Yeah, we deal with, so I got one today and I did a little short video for ProLine the other day on, you know, showing up to your appointments, right?
Yeah.
So this is a funny one. It just crossed my plate today. We quoted three jobs down in like Southern West Virginia for the biggest, I would say for sure, they're the biggest convenience store chain in West Virginia, but they are in Ohio also. It's called Parmar, Parkersburg Marietta, right? It started in our area, but they've grown. They're humongous. we've done one job for them. They went and quoted three more down in southern West Virginia. So we followed, the sales rep followed up today and just to see if, you know, they're ready to pull the trigger. And the guy said, well, we like your price. It seems right. But we had three other guys quote that job. This has been 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. We give them a quote on the spot that day, like the same day. Said, we're waiting on them other guys still. They still haven't got us a quote. And we're like, now we did our pitch. Now they're going to the corporate man and saying, hey, no one else is quoting this. We need to move on. You know,
if we can't get them to bid, what's it going to be like working with them?
Exactly.
Give them our money.
Now, for some reason, some people, they'll sit there and hound that guy until he throws them some low ball offer. And then guess what they get? The worst freaking service, production, product, warranty that they could possibly get. But yep. There are some people that are think that that's okay. But regardless, my point to the thing is, it's like, it's not that difficult. Just do what you're supposed to do. Show up when you say you're going to show up and give them a quote in a timely manner. It doesn't have to be on the spot. We do that because we've spent a lot of effort in getting that process down. But just get it in a timely manner, a couple, 3 days, like 4 days. Like, people are, you know, satisfied with that. But yeah, if you just do what you're supposed to do, you'll win a lot of jobs no matter what your price is.
I had somebody who is like almost a client. They were almost like apologetic about their process because they sent something and it took like 6 hours to get it back to me. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand your industry. Like, it's not, you are the only person that is giving them a price. He's like, normally I ought to get that to you like while I'm there. I'm like, you don't understand. Even if you get it the same day, you're beating all these other guys. And so I'm like, stop beating yourself up, because a lot of owners too, I think you always are comparing to like the perfect of like what it could be. And it's like, okay, but that's not your process. Don't make yourself feel bad that you're not doing those things or don't have that stuff. You don't need it.
Sure. So I got a question for you. I know you're not necessarily, maybe not necessarily a marketing guru, but what are you seeing right now? I've had a lot of conversations, not really, more so with other roofers about marketing here lately. And what are you seeing and what are your thoughts in the marketing world today? What's working? What's not? What's your thoughts on some of this? Because it feels like there's a big shift going on.
Yeah. So for me, I think of the Batman thing with Bane, where he's like, I was forged in this. And it's like, look for avenues where you can't spend money to get leads. Like, put a board up where you said, I could not do an activity. And like, anything on this list cannot be something where we're really spending money on leads to get leads. And so we have to come up with other ideas. And so I see the people that are going to be successful, the efforts that people I'm working with that are starting to pay off. What can you do to find other people in your network that can be spheres of influence for your business, and then make sure that there's a good process so that A, they know, like, hey, here's the people that are a good referral for me, but B, then there's a good way for them when they send you that business to make sure it gets treated, you know, well. And so like for us in our business, we were really, really big Nextdoor. And so Nextdoor app, like in communities where you can go on and communicate with people. It's like somebody would post and say, hey, does anybody know of a roofer? I've got a roof leak. And it's like, yep, everybody's on the list. Hey, call me. I'm Steve. Here's my number. And it's like, oh, here's this. Like, maybe it's a page to a link. I've been going on Nextdoor for a few years where it's just like talking to people and tagging our business. And now when we tag our business, it's like we've got 150 Nextdoor like favorites. So we tag the business and I say, hey, check out our family business. We're local, 40 years. But we're the only ones that will give you a price on a roof and without one of us in your living room in less than 60 seconds. And we put a link to our instant roof quote. And it's something where it's like, people will be like, dude, I can't send my price out there because my market, you don't understand. I'm competing with these low price guys. Bob. And I'm like, you don't understand. Put yourself in the customer's position for a second. What do they want? It's like, dude, think through their process. You've been doing this too long. You've installed too many roofs. And like, you're just thinking about this like a machine. Be in, you know, Susie homeowner's shoes for a second. She's like, I think I might need a roof because I saw the neighbor got a roof, or I drove home and some dude was getting his roof replaced. I wonder what a roof costs. That's always the first thought. And so it's like, go there. If you can provide something like that, even if you could just link and say, here's a projects page where like we have three homes that are typical for us of like, here's a range for a bungalow and detached garage. It's $10,000 to $15,000. Here's this. Provide some educational value for those people so that you can help them show like, hey, I'm not here to just sell you something. I'm here to educate and help you along this journey. And by doing that, there's like when they scroll through that list and they see all these other people, name, phone, your business, a personal note, that goes a long way. And so those are things where you can connect on Nextdoor, on Facebook groups. It doesn't matter what you're using. There's either digital communities or your in-person, real-person communities. You can go and like take that approach.
So you brought up something that is kind of heavy on my mind here today because I just got an email right before this call that I followed up with RoofQuote Pro.
Yep.
We were a customer of theirs when it first came out, I think, and we ended up switching. We went to Roofer because we used Roofer for measurements, and it just was like there's no sense in really having both subscriptions. Roofer kind of offers a similar thing. I will say Roofer's instant measurement tool does seem like it leaves a lot to be desired as far as accuracy and features.
The look and feel is not as good. It just doesn't have the same polish, in my opinion. But
it doesn't. And the accuracy bothers me more than anything because it's like, not that we're looking for perfect, but I mean, some of these come back and they're like not close, not even close. What's your thoughts with RoofQuote Pro on, you know, how good is it? Is it that good?
So I think like this is the issue of the overall industry problem when people look at a tool. Like this is a tool. It's as good as you are with a tool. It's like, I don't know, Scott, how good are you with a hammer? It's like, well, I don't know, pretty good, but it depends on what I'm trying to do. It's like, how good are you with a sawzall? It's like, I don't know, I don't know, I might be good with this tool, I might not. So for me personally, like, it's weird that I was basically like, I didn't have a budget. I wasn't allowed to spend money. I couldn't, like, we had a very small budget of what I could spend. And so I was not allowed to get leads. So RoofQuote Pro was like the answer to my prayers because during COVID, I was stuck at home with a 3-month-old and I'm like doing Google, like quick square measurements to like try and get people some numbers. And then I hear about this and I'm like, yes, ability to have that polish where somebody goes on there, they see this. And I can show them some options, give them some prices. But most importantly, it's a really big brand differentiator for us because it's like we've put a couple little things in along that process where once they get into it, they see our faces again. They see the family. It's like reasons to click and give me that email. Like I wrote a little thing on that on ours where if you go on there on the email thing, it's like, hey, I'm a real person. Like we're a real family business. We're not going to blow you up with a bunch of spam. We promise. Like if you'd like to check this out, great, give it a shot. We promise we're not going to be a pain in your butt, basically. And like, I wrote that because I'm like, somebody's going to sit at that screen being like, hesitating to fill that out. And then I'm like, that's not your standard terms and conditions. It's a real person wrote that. And I'm like, those are those little things of like, show people, we sell a commodity, it's roofs, it's not sexy. Show people how you can be a little different. And that's why they're going to go with you. It's like, let me show you I'm the right fit, but you're going to remember me because of something I did along that way. So
sure. And I knew even with roofers, like we've dialed it in. We've worked, done a lot of work to really dial that in, a lot of tests, edit, test, edit, test, edit. But where we see the trouble with that tool is like, it doesn't follow the line of the house. That's where those huge margin of error is. Now, is if it follows the line of the house, it's usually in the ballpark, but a lot of times you'll see that line, it does not follow the eaves and the rakes. It cuts half the house off, or for some reason it picked up the driveway in the house. You know what I mean? So like the driveway and house is all getting measured 6,000 square feet, you know, and it's really just a 1500 square foot ranch, you know? So, but my question, I guess, is are you pretty satisfied with the measurements and the accuracy that you've been able to receive from?
Yeah, I went on a tangent there. So first thing we had, like, for people are going to be like, well, the value of the cost of the subscription, we got, I just checked yesterday, and this is since the inception, but we're almost at 700 leads through that instant RoofQuote tool that gave me name, phone number, email address. And then we have an additional 300 that gave me their address. And so it's like, we've only spent $3,000 running some like Nextdoor branding ads to get those displayed with the Nextdoor platform where we're engaging. And as far as the accuracy goes, like it's been really good. And most people understand that it's not going to be perfect. But what we do in our process is if they fill out that instant roof quote and then they respond back that like, hey, once we try and follow up with them, call them, automated text, email via ProLine, they say yes. It's like, we're going to send you, we tell them like, hey, that's just an estimate. We can send you a firm quote. We'll order measurements and we email them a quote before we even come out on site. Because it's like, we're going to send everything to you so that when we do show up, we can talk about what you want to. Roofing is roofing. We're going to do the same stuff. We're going to install it the same way. Like, that's not what we're here to talk about. So I'm going to put all my cards on that table up front early because we know two things. One, people want that. They want the information. The more I can give to them before, they'll figure out what's important to them. And then they're going to tell me that when I show up. And then two, like, they're not making a decision to buy from you the day you go out on site anyways. And so it's like, it doesn't matter when you show them your price because most of the time, unless it's an active roof leak, they're not ready to pull the trigger right then. And so it's like, let me give you that information up front. And so the few cases we've had instances, if measurements were off on RoofQuote Pro, there was one where it was a customer changed something and they're like, it's $200,000. And I'm like, it's 50 squares and you picked Grand Manor. Like, that's what do you, I mean, it's stupid. You picked that package. Go look at this one. And then one was like a little bit smaller. And they're like, this just, there's no way it's right, but I have trees everywhere. I know that this can't be right. And I showed them like, yeah, here's square footage of shingles is what they did. But that's even something that like you can put in your process to have your team member, virtual assistant, admin, like check those things for people that came in and it's like, hey, we noticed this was a little wonky. Just another reason to call somebody and show them like we're real people here.
Sure. So I want to touch on ProLine since I know you're a user and a fan.
Early adopter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were part of it when it was a tool still.
Yep.
And we have now adopted the CRM and I couldn't be happier. I mean, it's been a complete game changer for not, you know, to really be honest about it. It's not that it's been the game changer for me. Like every CRM I've been able to use. The problem is that my team doesn't use it. So this has changed my game, but because they have fully implemented it into their day-to-day, where in everything else we've used, they just haven't, they don't use it. Like it's so frustrating because it's like, get the pliers out, grab a molar and start jerking. It's like pulling teeth to get them to use it, you know? And it's like, come on guys, you know, I can't get any information if you don't use this, you know, like I don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. But my question is what out of the software that exists today, what's your favorite thing inside of ProLine?
Feature? So I would say, and this is literally what I tell people why we started with it. Cause like we started too, when we're in, we are still using Job Nimbus. That's what Allie has, but it's one of those like, how big of a pain in the ass is that switch over to keep your CRM and like get this changed? So ProLine is synced with them because we have that original one. But she just did a demo with them last week because there was like some things that she was talking about, and I'm like, just go talk to the team because I think it's time for them to make that switch. And the reason that I tell everybody it's the best tool, the communication is a. It's all in one place. And I feel like the flow of communication on a project, it's easier to see, understand. And like I open a card and boom, here's all of this stuff of the flow of that information from when they lead came through all these notes, the voicemails, like you can get into all that stuff. And then that like solves a lot of the problems on the team of like, oh, what was this? Somebody didn't put in the CRM. Like you can, it's easier to find that stuff and make sure it's typed in there. But then the automatic follow-up where you don't have to type all the messages. I'm lazy. Like, I'm the best person to hire for your business because I'm motivated, but I'm really lazy at the end of the day. And so I've made like a life of trying to find ways to get out of doing the work by making a process so that we can just put it on repeat. And so like ProLine, where I'm like, dude, I don't have to write follow-up messages. I can just, here's a list, like, let's build off of this, change, tweak, whatever. But I've got like 2 years of follow-ups that are built in. So like having that capability, the lead rehash capability too, it's like, I sound like a freaking ProLine ad here, but it's when we turned it on, I'm like, people are always saying to me like, oh, I'm slow right now. I'm like, okay, what'd you do to follow up with your old customers? It's like, oh, we should nothing really. I'm like, lead rehash, drop them all in the bucket, start following up and just engaging with those old bids. And it's like, if you're not going to take the time out of your day to go through that list and call them or text them yourself, put a software in place to do it. And like, that's, it's all stuff where it's like things that we either weren't doing or not doing well, or we just didn't do them at all, especially the follow-up. It's like, yep, we're just on to the next customer.
I do something really interesting with follow-up and with mostly with sales follow-up. I think we have it built into our review follow-up also. Our review follow-up, we kill it. Like we, this week, I think I've got five-star reviews already this week. So, I mean, we are kicking ass. Oh, we kill it, our reviews.
A review a day? Like, come on, man. Like, see you later competition.
Yeah, like, and we got three different GMBs. And just because of this review follow-up and the review generation we get, we're number one in one market and then number two in the other two markets. I think it's where it's at. That's where it was at earlier this week. So the other two markets vary a little bit because there's a little bit more competition. So it kind of just depends. But well, we rank very well because of it. But the one thing I do that's really interesting that I like, I'm an advocate. I think you should do this. Go make typos in your sales follow-up. Like, I think you should do that because you said it about RoofQuote Pro. We got this little header that says, I'm a real person. You know, I'm not going to spam you, just, you know, whatever. This is another way to say that, hey, this is a real person, because nobody responds to automations. Nobody responds to robots. No, we get too much. I mean, I get stuff from a gym I used to go to, from a supplement store, from a T-Mobile. From I get that shit every day, 7 days a week. Like somebody's sending me an automated text.
Yep.
I do not respond to any of them.
Well, that's the biggest thing of having like that single number that everybody can talk to one person with, where it's like it's the same follow-up line, the same text line, the same call line. It's all from that. So you're not overwhelming. Like it's so annoying to be like, thanks for visiting. And it's like some new number. I'm like, now I have 14 messages that could have been from one thing, but you guys keep getting reported as spam because you spent out too much of this crap. So,
right. So, yeah. Well, and then you text, you get a response from that same number in ProLine. That's the real message. You know, when my automation went to Chris and Chris responded, now I can text you from that same number, like legitimate response. Yeah, and so it's completely seamless, and that's exactly how it has to be.
And so I'll be the first to say, like, I remember when we set this up, and I was looking through some of the pre-written messages, and this is one where it's, like, reevaluating what I've held as true and, like, really thinking through the customer side of things was the messages and some of the things that were written where I was like, this is stupid. Like, some of these just annoy me with what's written here for some reason. Like, I'm like, this is dumb. And it's like, oh, it's a home run. Like, we can knock it out of the park for you.
Oh, my God, we had that one too.
But here's the thing. I'll say, I remember seeing jobs come back in with some of the weirdest messages and being like, as soon as I would see the customer name with that message, I'm like, dude, it makes sense now, because I'm like, yeah, this is dumb to me, but to some like 70-year-old, like my grandma or some, like, she would have thought this is cute. And it's like, that's the thing. She's like, yeah, that, oh. And like, I don't know.
Deleted all that shit. I deleted all of it.
So I tell everybody, like, whether you're using ProLine or you have any other sort of follow-up sequence, like, you really need like three messages. If you make three, you're 90% of the way there. And what I always suggest is, like, make sure you've created some sort of content that you can drive them back to your website with one, drive them to a video where they can hear you talking with another one, and then just something else to like follow up in a personal manner. But what we would do is, depending on like instant roof quote, we would send them to a follow-up in between like trying to get a hold of them, where it's like, hey, don't just take our word for it. Like, take a look at some of the projects we've completed recently with a link back to our past projects page. We have a map with all of our installs. We've got our company cam showcase, and it's like a little image goes with that text of like, check out the screenshots. Like, they can see, oh, there's going to be something here when I go to that page. And now you can see our work that we did and the neighbors around you too. And then like the other one was, I did a video. We walked around a job site and I just pointed out, like, we did a roof, chimney, gutters. And I was like, here's all these problems that by us doing these all together, we're solving future problems now by replacing the gutters today. Cause you're pointing out the fascia board's getting ripped off with this roof. And then that chimney, see, we show these pictures and like, here's 10 problems that we solve on a job that are hidden that like other people might not know about. And when they happen, here's how we resolve them for you. And I was like, I walked around the house and it's like, as if I was just talking to a homeowner, like, this is the stuff I'm talking about. And we make that a YouTube video, boom, follow up.
I'll tell you something, just to give you a little peace of mind. This might be a discussion off camera, but the transition from Job Nimbus to ProLine is really easy. It's not difficult at all.
I know.
And I'll be honest with you, if they're familiar with the messaging tool, that's 90% of it.
Yep.
The rest is so easy.
So that's one of the things I'm starting to help other people with is like, there's a segment of people that are using ProLine or want to use ProLine, but they're like, I just don't know how to deal with setting any of this up. It's like, great. That's some of the service I can provide. Like, let me help you use this. It's probably not always a big thing. Like, it's probably like, hey, let's spend a couple hours, help get the setup right. But it's something where, yeah, that I talked to AJ about this. I'm like, how much of that like transition? He's like, walk through the data export. I'm like, this is really easy. So it'll solve some problems. And I think it's like anything, like you got kids. It's like my wife's like, I'm ready to make this switch as soon as our kids stop getting sick.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. We can get off of the ProLine subject for a bit here. We probably plugged them enough in this one. But no, I guess, you know, we're getting to the end of it here, but what do you got coming up exciting that, you know, any big news, anything going on that you're pumped up about you want to share?
Yeah, so one of a client of mine that I seeked him out in, like, it was like, hey, I'm coming to you for some advice. And he's like, dude, I would love to see what you guys did in your business. So Eric Reno, Paramount Roofing, one of the things that we're working on, he gets a ton of requests for coaching. I'm also getting more requests for like coaching and doing these things. And everybody's asking for the same stuff. And so one of the things that we're working on doing is just trying to figure out, it's like everybody's kind of starting these mastermind things, but it's also one where it's like with the marketing deliverables that most of these people need created, it's like we're going to all go on this journey to like think through an ideal customer, like put these things together. And so we're working on building that out. So for people that really want not just like, hey, help me redesign my sell sheets, but like help me understand how I can build a plan for marketing to my customers from start to finish and be able to implement that myself over and over and over. So that's what I'm kind of working on, basically taking what I do in an individual level. And then we're going to do it some more on some group levels, because what I'm finding locally, there's a big need for different segments, non-roofers, where there's groups of these people, these like interior designers, you know, there's a group of guys that are tree trimmers that get together and like, they even want some group coaching too, where it's like, hey, we can just all sit down in a room, talk about all of our problems together. And so it's like, I know you've been in some of these before, and like just that, like you've already got your group sometimes locally where it's like, hey, let's all learn from this guy and like do a one-off event. And so I'm starting to just get more any types of like people that reach out to me. It's like, if you've got other people, let's keep this affordable for everybody. Like, let's all spend a couple hours together and we can really make an effective use of our time. So yeah, if there's any people out there, it's like, that are just like, dude, I don't know where to go. You're the boat in the ocean. You're like, I just point me to which lighthouse I should just start paddling to and I'll go. And it's like a lot of times, like, let's jump on a discovery call, chat with me. I'm always open to meet new people. And even if it's something where it's like, I can't provide a service to you, that's my business model. Is I look at it as I'm kind of that hub. My logo is a wheel. And it's like, I'm really good. Because it's like, I know what is going on in all these directions and where you need to go, but also when it's the right time to go there too. Because for most guys, it's like, dude, stop focusing on those three things. You just need somebody to come in and tell you no for 10 minutes, and then that'll get you refocused a little bit. So like the story I'll end with is one of my clients didn't know his repair business was really crushing his business. And it's like, he's doing $4 million. And it's like, dude, we are just not making the numbers here. And I'm like, we dove into some numbers a little bit pretty quickly. And it's like, right here, this is what's killing it. We're spending so many man hours. Everybody's, you know, doing these repairs and they're not converting into replacements. Like, we need to figure out a way to say yes to a lot of these things, no to a lot of other ones. And really, you know, it's called the book Pumpkin Plan. Read the book, The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michalowicz. Help you think about like consolidating that stuff in your business and focusing on the things that make you money, add value to your customers. So that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm pumpkin planting the stuff I'm working on and realizing, hey, it's a lot of these people, I can help them, you know, nudge their group in the right direction and work with them. So reach out if I can help. If any of this shit we've talked about today sounds like, yeah, that's, I need to hear more of that.
That's awesome. Well, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they go about doing that?
Yep. So readytoroll.com. So readytoroll, readyroll.com. You can book a discovery call right from the website, or you can shoot me an email, find me on Facebook, Chris DeRoll. So yeah, let me know if I can help anybody out there. Honestly, the easiest way is just book the discovery call, get it on my calendar. You don't have to email back and forth. If you email me and say, hey, what times work for you? I'm going to send you a link. So it's like, just click that button. So
Awesome, Chris. Well, hey, I appreciate your time today. It was a great talk. I think we hit some great points, and hopefully, got a little bit of value to somebody listening out there. So, that's what it's all about. So anyway, I appreciate it, man. I hope you have a great day, and hopefully the rest of this year is a big success.
You too, man. We'll be in touch.
We'll see you.